session number 10421, reel 3.
Leslie Thornton, Reel 3. Mr. Thornton, can you tell me the kinds of discipline which would be meted out to soldiers who do various wrong things?
Well, there was the smaller things, like dirty on parade and things like that. Hair not cut short. They were put on a charge, and of course, for little things like that, it was a case of 3 days CB, which meant they couldn't go out, and had to report to the guard room at various times during the day and the night. And that finished about 9:30, and then of course they had a little time to clean the kit for the next morning, and then the bugle went, and it was bedtime. There were other things like absence. If a chap was absent, he normally got 7 days, and the pay stopped for the length of time he was absent. Of course, the company commander would ask him if he would take his punishment, or would like to go in front of the commanding officer. You had your major. Or your captain and your colonel. In the case of the depot, the command officer was a major, not a colonel, and the company commander was a captain. So he would ask him if he would prefer to go in front of the command officer if the chap thought he wasn't being fairly treated in his punishment. And if he said yes, of course he would go in front of the command officer. He'd probably get more when he went in front of the command officer than he would of his major. So normally they said, yes, sir, I'll take your punishment. And of course then there was the long absences, which real bad ones like drunks and causing disturbance in town, which they were tried and of course were given detention. They could serve their detention in the barracks up to 14 days, but after that, then they would do, in those days before the war of course, they would go to Aldershot, to what was known then as the Glass House, and served the sentence there, which was then nobody wanted to be in there. Nobody wanted to go again. But I remember I took one chap down when I was a corporal, and I had to double in, as well as the prisoner. And so they were very strict, and they wouldn't want, a chap wouldn't want to go there again. So it was a deterrent, these long absences or really bad behaviour.
Was there any kind of parading to be marched in front of your officer? Did you have to wear
your
best uniform?
No, not necessarily. The commanding officer, yes, but not the company commander. You marched in, you had an escort to march in. You had a private soldier in front. Anybody that would do, any private soldier, yourself behind him, and the evidence would be a corporal or a sergeant, whatever, and then you would march in and halt in front of the company commander without a hat. Your hat would be taken off before you marched in, and thereafter charge would be read out from a charge sheet, and evidence, the corporal or sergeant would give his evidence, and the officer would say, have you anything to say? And of course the chap would say his piece, whatever, well, he was guilty or he wasn't guilty, and give an excuse of some description, which there were many excuses for things that they did wrong. And then he was given his sentence, marched out. His name was put in the book in the guard room, and he paraded on, later on the evening, more or less. During the day, of course, he was on parade, so he wouldn't be required to go to the guard room. It started after parades.
Did you find when, in those early days, with recruits coming in, that many of them found they weren't suited for the army? And if so, what happened to them?
Well, not a lot, but the odd one, if he wasn't suitable, it could be medical. After he got his medical, he was found not to be suitable. In other cases, when he was really a hard case, then he would be taken down to the labour exchange and given over to them and said, he's undesirable and he's finished with the army.
And, you mentioned medicals there. You did say that you had a very simple kind of medical, basic medical,
yes.
when you went to the recruiting office. Your first medical in the army, form did it take?
Well, it was a proper medical by the medical officer, same as you would go to a doctor in civil life. Everything was looked at, your feet, your teeth, everything checked. It was really a thorough medical. Your physical, mental and everything was checked and noted. And anything could be put right by remedial exercises, things like that, as far as the physical plan was carried out. Your teeth would be looked at and all marked and checked. You'd have a dental card which showed all the faults, neglect for your teeth and all that in those days. There was a lot of it. And then you would have your dental treatment every so often.
What other kind of duties did you have to carry out in these initial days?
Well, as a recruit, very little, because we were training, we were being taught. We weren't duties, were fatigues that we did. Went on cookhouse fatigue. This was after your parades, of course. So many times, maybe half a dozen men went to cookhouse fatigue, peeling potatoes the next day, etc., etc. We did a fire picket, which meant six men, fire picket, and all you did, you had to stay in barracks. Well, as a recruit, you were in barracks all the time, so it didn't make any difference. And you reported the guard room a few times to make sure you were all there and the fire picket was available. Others, of course, were coal fatigue, carrying coal to the married quarters. All was done after your parades. Never anything in your parade time, which I can explain what that was, probably later in the training part of it. But there was gymnasium fatigue. You had to scrub the gymnasium out. That was done on a weekend. About 20 men, all on the knees, with polish and scrubbers, going right up the big gymnasium. And clean it out, ready for the next week. So those are the kinds of things. As far as guards were concerned, none. Because we didn't know how to do guards. We were still in the process of being taught how to drill, etc., etc.
Can we turn to recreation? Obviously it wasn't all work.
We had a football field in the opposite the barracks, and we had the gymnasium where you could go and play basketball, etc., and football, depending on really whether you were good enough to do it, whether you wanted to do it. But you were in the gymnasium every day for a full hour on physical training. So that was the biggest part of your exercise.
What form did your physical training take?
Horse. Mats, boxing, doing what they call then physical jerks, a lot of that. The vaulting horse, the parallel bars, the wall bars where you hung hung on the wall bars, and you had to lift your legs straight up and down as many times as you could. And of course, you realised in time it was doing you good, because when you first went in, you were a certain weight, and you lost weight. And then later on, as you progressed, your muscles hardened, and you put weight on, but it wasn't fat. You're taking the fat off, and you put muscle on, and of course you start to get heavier. I myself was a mere 117 pounds when I joined the army, and 5'2", 5'2½, and they really pulled me out. And it's amazing. I was 20, and you're supposed to stop growing, but I didn't. I grew another 3 inches. It did a lot of good. But as far as recreation, we didn't get to a lot. Or swimming baths occasionally. There was a swimming bath in Newcastle, and we were paraded. And if you didn't swim, you soon did, because you were thrown in. Not in the deep end, of course, but if you stand on the edge looking at the water. And it wasn't warm water like it is in the baths nowadays. It was pretty cool. You got a shove, and in you went.
What was your favourite sport?
Oh, football. Yes, I played football for the depot as a recruit, which was not known very. It wasn't done very often.
And who did you play against?
Oh, the local Wednesday League teams. You know, like Cooperative Stores, and it was Wednesday League in Newcastle, and all these different small football teams, and the depot, of course. Put the names down to be included in the league.
Was any gambling taking place amongst the recruits?
No, not allowed. If they did, then they hid themselves somewhere to do it. But if they were caught, it was the punishment, and it would be 7 days.
So it wasn't encouraged?
Not encouraged at all, gambling, no.
Were you aware that any was taking place?
No, not really. No, I didn't see. I can't remember seeing anybody. We had no cards in the barrack room, so that's probably the reason I didn't see any taking place. Unless one of the recruits had a pack and they went away in a little corner somewhere and had a little flutter by themselves.
Would they have been in trouble had they been found?
Oh yes.
What about getting out at night into the town?
Well, you weren't allowed out for the first 6 weeks of your training, that's all. And then you had to, your uniform had to be fitted by the tailor. You had to be inspected by the company commander to see that your service dress, which was the tunic and the knee creases and the putties. You had to know how to put your putties on. You had to fit properly. You had a white belt and a regimental cane, what they call then a swagger stick. And then after 6 weeks, and you could dress yourself, then you're allowed to go out at night. But you had to be in by 23:59. And the gates were closed, of course, and you had to knock at the gate, a small gate, a small wooden gate. So if you were late, you couldn't just walk into camp. It was a big the barracks. It was a big wall round. So you had to go in, and then the NCO, the police NCO, would open the gate, and that with you on a charge the next morning for being late. But it didn't happen very often, because the chaps knew that they wouldn't go out again for as long as they had their CB, and probably not for a couple of weeks after either. So it was a deterrent there. I've seen the chaps get so fed up of trying to get past the guard room that they just packed in and didn't bother going out. And unfortunately, these lads had a funny build, like thin legs. A terrible job with the putties, getting the putties on straight, because they had to fit your legs properly. No bags, they used to call pockets underneath, you see, when they wound them out, they had to fit. And if any pockets in, you were sent back. Go and put your putties on right. Your cap badge is not clean enough. Your white belt hasn't been blankoed properly. So it was discipline. It taught you that you had to be properly shaved, you had to you had to be clean, and you couldn't get away with it. So all the time, that was part of your training and discipline.
When you did go out, were you well received by the civilian population?
Well, those days, they didn't take a lot of notice because it was before the war, and a soldier was classed as a, what should we say, somebody who wouldn't work. Yeah? So really the civil population weren't particularly very nice to you.
Was it possible to form any relationships with particularly the females in the vicinity?
Well, yeah. There was a place where all the girls used to collect in Newcastle called Jesmond, and they called it the Vale. And all the recruits, that's where they used to make, to see if they would pick up a girl. Probably not for any... just like young lads did, you know, for a chat, sit on a seat or something like that. And that was the main place they went. In the town, no. But this Jesmond Dean, or Jesmond Vale, was the NCAA, all the NCAAs knew about it. Of course, they used to patrol down there now and again just to see if there's no angry panic going on.
What areas of entertainment did you seek in the town?
Well, there was... Not a lot. I was drunk at that time. I didn't drink. Well, not a lot. Probably about a half pint. The cinemas. That was all. Nothing else. Nothing else. And probably go and have a, if you could afford it, and have something to eat, which was different to what you got in barracks. But otherwise, not a lot. It was just a case of getting out of barracks, really.
These films that you saw, did you have favourite films, or how did you react to the kind of films that you were seeing?
It was a film and that was it. Mostly musicals, probably, and a cowboy, good cowboy film, so that you used to go for, but otherwise there's no really particular choice, you know.
Newsreels, was there any indication on the newsreels that things weren't well in the world? Did you see any newsreels, of course?
No. I can't remember. In the cinemas, you mean? Mm-hmm. No, I can't. Either I can't remember or I didn't take a great deal of notice at that time. Because when you were young, you didn't sort of worry too much about things. So I really can't take me. I didn't go to pictures a lot, as a matter of fact. I didn't go out a lot. First of all, I used to make an allowance for my mother. We were on 14 shillings a week, and you see, make an allowance of 3 and 6 to my mother, so I got 10 shillings a week. And out of that 10 shillings, you had to buy your boot polish, your dusters, your blanco, your white blanco, and at night time you would go and get a pie and peas. So there wasn't a lot left to go out with.
What about pay? Which was payday in the week? What was the payday?
Friday.
And it was parade.
It was a parade. It was a parade, and you formed up in your alphabetical order, and the colour sergeant was there with his sheet, what quittance roll they called it, your name was called out. You went up, you saluted, took your pay. You didn't salute properly. You waited, got your pay, saluted, and turned away and went. And of course, there was another thing that every so often was a regimental journal. You weren't forced to buy one, but you did buy one.
What about leave?
Well, as your train went on, you got 36-hour passes, which started on Saturday dinner time, and you were back in barracks at 12 o'clock on the Sunday night. And then about once or twice in your depot training, you got a 48-hour pass, which meant you could go on the Friday night and be back on the Sunday. And of course, in between your Christmas, if Christmas came at the time when you were training, and your bank holidays, and you got those. But there was no long leaves until you'd finished your training.
And how were you received by your family and your friends when you went back to the neighbourhood in your uniform?
Well, quite well, really. My stepfather, of course, had been in the 14 War for 4 years, and he understood. Plus the fact he understood that I was doing what I wanted to do. And they were worried, in a way. They were concerned about me in the army, but not a lot. You know, they weren't worried about it really. So, and of course, I still had my friends who I left when I joined, and go out for the night. Of course, in uniform, I'd have to be in uniform until sometime later. You didn't get civilian clothes until you got down to the battalion. So you were always in uniform for 6 months.
Can we come now, Mr. Thornton, to basic training? Could you take me through a typical day?
Yeah. Yes, well, we got up at 6:30. And the first thing was washed, shaved, etc. And make up your bed, which had to be folded in a certain way. Sometimes in an armchair fashion, and sometimes your three blankets with one round them laid on your bed. And then you had your duties, which were clean the barracks up. This was after you'd carried out your own ablutions and your bed and all that. So you had your own little tasks in the barrack room. Sweeping, bumping the floor. We had a great big bumper polisher thing that you would detail off who would do these certain jobs. Then you had the washhouse had to be cleaned out. They were detailed. The ensign in charge of the barrack room would do them. And then you would start and get yourself ready for parade, which was 8:30. And you were 5 minutes before, you were corporal shouted you down. You didn't see the sergeant until you got on parade. He had nothing to do with the barrack room. And you went on a parade. The first thing was inspection. You got on the barrack square and were inspected. And then it was 1 hour's drill, with sort of a 5 minutes break in between.
So what kind of drill was that hour?
Well, it was ordinary, basic drill. How to stand to attention, how to stand at ease, how to march, how to about turn. No arms, anything like that. Just as you were in what they call loose order. That was your denim suit, and your khaki belt, and that was the initial training. How to march, how to stand to attention, how to salute, etc., etc. The little things.
Did they start you off from the beginning at light infantry pace?
Oh yes.
So all your marching was light infantry pace.
Yes. Of course, there was the other one was your slow march, which you had to learn. That was a different kind of marching, of course, as you know. It was mostly for ceremonial and funeral drill. But that carried on for quite a few weeks until you were proficient and you could march properly.
So you did an hour's of this drill.
Yes.
What would you possibly do next?
Well, the next thing would be 1 hour's weapon training. Now, you'd... you'd start with your rifle, the initial period of your rifle. You had an aiming rest at that time, where you put your rifle in a rack. You're taught how to aim. And of course, your rifles were... you didn't get these, of course, until probably a week after you joined. And then you taught the basic rules of weapon training. Now, the other thing, then you would do your machine gun training. You'd start with, those days, it was a Lewis gun, which was an air-cooled weapon, which obviously is obsolete now. And you were taught how to load and unload it with dummy rounds, of course. And then you had your grenades, which was a grenade that is never changed since the 1914 war. It's still the same grenade as it was then.
That would be the Mills bomb.
The Mills bomb, as they called it, yes. The 36 grenade was its proper name.
And what kind of training did you get for hand grenades?
Well, we had two posts with a high wire. Because to throw a grenade, it had to be thrown high to get your distance. As you can understand, the same as anything else, throwing a stone, it had to rise. So this wire was at a certain height, and there was a ring at the other side, and you had to try and get your grenade inside that ring. And that was really the only part of grenade training, how to throw it. Of course, the safety precaution to it, and how to clean it, which came as well, how to take the pin out, don't leave the pin in before you throw it, and don't let the lever go in your hand before you throw it either, or else that was it, you go.
So in 1937 you hadn't the Bren gun?
No, it hadn't come. The Bren gun didn't come till the first time I saw the Bren gun came round with it in 1938. When I was in the battalion, and opened this little bag, and the NCOs got round, he showed them, and then closed it up, secret, and off he went. But we had the Lewis gun then.
And in this first 6 months, did you do any training with anti-tank rifles?
No, we hadn't it.
No anti-tank rifle.
Mm. We only had the Lewis gun, the rifle, and the grenade. The only thing we had.
Nothing with mortars?
No.
Did you have opportunity to fire on the ranges?
Yes, that was later on in your training. You went to Whitburn Range, and of course before that we had a 2-2 range, and you fired the 2-2 rifle long before you fired the live ammunition. That was at the end of the training when you fired live. And of course you got proficient with the 2-2, which of course was a light weapon and not to it. So there was no, because when you went on the 30 yards range, then it was a 30 yards range which you used the ball ammunition, the 303. Then you felt you were taught how to hold it properly, and if you didn't, then you got a bang on the shoulder and. That taught you to keep hold of your rifle properly.
So you went to Whitburn for range.
That's right.
When that started, how often did you?
While at the depot, twice. You didn't have a lot of training with live.
What about the bayonet?
Oh yes, got to mention the bayonet, didn't we? Well, we had our bayonet dummies, you know, with two posts with a sack in, and we were taught how to use the bayonet and withdraw it in various positions. Then you had the sack lying down, so you taught how to use your bayonet by putting it straight in and putting it out standing up. But when you got to the sack, then your foot had to come down on the dummy, so you could